The healthcare industry has undergone transformational change in the past 10 years, especially as it relates to the implementation of technology. Even so, there's much more to do, and many companies are out there doing it, but you don't know about them. At Intrepid Healthcare, our podcast will bring you the crazy ones, the rebels, the troublemakers, the ones who see things differently. The people that are crazy enough to think they can change the world in healthcare. So sit tight and enjoy as we tell the story of another thought-leading trailblazer.
Welcome back to Intrepid Healthcare. I'm your host, Joe Lavelle. I'm really looking forward to our discussion today with another trailblazing innovator who comes to contribute to our special mini-series on caregiving. We're going to get right to it today. We're joined by Barth Holohan. Barth is a co-owner of Family Partners. Barth, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for making the time to be with us today. Before we start our discussion, Barth, could you take a few seconds and tell the audience about you and your background?
Sure. I started volunteering in nursing homes when I was younger. I just always enjoyed being around older adults, and I didn't really know where that was going to lead me in my career. And so when I graduated college, I worked in healthcare consulting and then decided to go back to school to further my degree. So I got a master's in business and a master's in gerontology. And so from that, I was trying to figure out where I would be in the healthcare space. And one thing I remembered when I started volunteering in nursing homes when I was younger was that the people that I would go and visit, the majority of them didn't want to be in the nursing home that they were in. And in my observation, a lot of them could have been served at a less institutional model. And so in 2002, I started a home care company that basically provided care to people in their individual homes and serving them whatever type of care they needed. If they needed physical, mental, transportation, anything they needed to stay independent, we would provide that service to them, and we currently still do that under our Continuum brand today. But one thing I started noticing as we were growing our home care business was that there was a lot of people that had dementia that could really benefit from the interaction that they can have with peers and the socialization component that helped with the dementia side. So that led us to start Family Partners Adult Day Center, which then eventually led us to start our Family Partners Assisted Living Home.
Outstanding. Why don't we take one little step back and just describe Family Partners, what it is, how it serves, how many components there are?
Sure. We started the Family Partners Adult Day Center in 2008. And basically what that center is, it's a center where we can either pick up individuals or individuals are dropped off by their family, their loved one, or a retirement community. And they come to our center for the day, and then they go home at night. And the nice thing about an adult day center like ours that's more of a social component, but it has a medical flair to it. So we have a nurse on site, so we can pass meds, we can do physical therapy on site, people can get all the personal care that they need. But the nice thing about it is that individuals are able to get the stimulation and the supervision that they want. And there's been studies that have shown that individuals that get the mental stimulation that they need, and it's really in more of a day center setting, those individuals are able to live at least 1 to 2 years longer in an independent environment than they otherwise would be. And so we can have up to 39 people a day in our day center, and it just is amazing how it works, where people are able to just come there, they get the stimulation, socialization that they need, they go home at night, and it allows their loved ones to really be caregivers and spouses instead of always having to worry about doing their personal care and making sure that they're eating properly and all that kind of stuff, so they can really become spouses again. So that's a blessing of a setting. And then what we were finding is that families were asking us to take care of their loved ones 24/7 in an environment like the day center. And so that's when in 2017 we opened up our assisted living home. And that's a 8-bed home in a residential neighborhood. It's licensed assisted living. It looks like a regular home. It is a regular home, and there's 8 people that live there, and there's staff there 24/7 that allow those individuals to live in an independent environment and keep them out of an institutional setting.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Let's start with the caregivers. One of the things family caregivers struggle with, I think, is finding the time to take care of themselves as they provide all this care to their family member. How does Family Partners provide a solution for this dilemma?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's the number one problem we see, Joe, is that family caregivers are swamped. They're 24/7 doing this care. They have a lot of guilt because they realize that they're starting to get to the point where they might not be able to do this on their own. And so they feel really guilty, and they're not taking care of themselves. And so sometimes the travesties that we see in this setting is that sometimes the able-bodied caregiver is the one that gets hurt. And so then families are dealt with major problems because then there's no one there to take care of the person that actually needs the help. So what we try to do in our day center model is that we try to take away all the stressors that these families and individuals have. So if someone has a hard time getting their loved one up and ready for the day, we have a pajama program where they can just drop off their loved one in their pajamas and we'll do all the personal care to get them ready for the day. If they pick up their loved one at the end of the day and they're swamped and they're tired and they don't want to make dinner, they just let us know and we'll have dinner ready for them so that they can bring dinner home. If their loved one needs therapy, instead of having the caregiver sending their husband all over town, we can have the therapy come to us. Even people that are on hospice can participate in our day program. And what we try to do is just take away all the stressors of the personal care, ordering durable medical equipment supplies, all the things that the family has a hard time doing, we try to take away that stressor so that they can actually take care of themselves. The nice thing about a day center over home care, even though I love home care, is the fact that day centers are usually 10 times more affordable. So you can get 10 to 11 hours a day of care in a day center for the same cost of 3 to 4 hours of care in an hourly setting through a home care company. Plus, you get the socialization of someone being with their peers instead of with a caregiver that might not be their same age.
Perfect. Fourth, why is it important to identify caregiving services outside of just the in-home care, as you were just describing? Why is that so important?
It's important because I think what we find is that a lot of times families think of two options, getting care in their home or going to a nursing home. And a lot of times they haven't exhausted the other opportunities like a day center or an assisted living home that is more home-like. And the benefit is that, one, a lot of times because of the guilt that people have of caring for a loved one with dementia or a physical ailment, sometimes they'd much rather isolate their loved one at their house because they feel guilty about bringing them to a day program. And so I think if people can get over the guilt and realize what is the best environment for their loved one, then I think it opens up a wide range of services that people can access, like in-home care or adult day centers or respite programs through skilled facilities or an assisted living home where someone might have 24/7 care in their house, but it might be too costly for them. And so instead of just saying, hey, I'm just going to send my loved one to a nursing home, this might be an option to help in that transition. So I think people limit themselves when they just look at one option. And I think it can also limit the independence nature that their loved one can have if they look at all the options possible.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Let's talk about dementia patients for a little bit. How can otherwise well-intentioned family caregivers be an impediment to their loved one with dementia in terms of living a fulfilling life with their disease?
My experience is that a lot of families are in denial about their loved one's true condition. So at one hand, they'll say mom and dad is forgetful, but then on the other hand, they're saying, well, I'm waiting for mom or dad to tell me what they want, or I asked my mom or dad if they wanted to do something, and they say no. So it's weird how in one aspect they understand the dementia and are aware of it, but then on the other side, they're asking their loved one with dementia to actually make decisions like they always had. And it's hard because a lot of times the mom or dad used to be the one in charge of the whole family and used to give directions to everybody. And if those days are gone, it's hard for families to make that transition. So we just always say to families, you have to be realistic about your mom and dad's current condition. And if you're truly realistic about it, what would you be doing if this was not your loved one and a friend was just telling you about the situation? What would be your response outside of the fact of giving excuses for your mom and dad? And I think if people are really able to come to grips with their mom's current condition or their dad's current condition, they're really able to get the best care for their loved one. The biggest thing for me is denial. People in denial tend to not put their foot down and making a safe environment for the loved one with dementia. And so at the end of the day, the loved one with dementia ends up suffering because no one's taking control.
It's a hard thing, I can tell you, having lived through it with my mother-in-law. Even though the family was aware as things were declining, getting to that point where you get that diagnosis and you start acting on it can take a lot longer than it would to diagnose cancer or anything else, because it's embarrassing. You're losing independence. There's all kinds of other issues that go on with that diagnosis. So I can really appreciate your answer there.
Yeah, and it's hard because, to your point, like you said, if someone's diagnosed with cancer or they're diagnosed with dementia, would you ever go up to someone with cancer and just say, I'm just going to ignore your symptoms. I'm going to ignore that you have cancer. It's weird. It's that everybody will ignore the dementia signs, but they tend to not ignore if they have a broken leg or if there's cancer or if there's a brain tumor or if all these things that if a physician says, hey, this is what your mom or dad has, people tend to not ignore it. But for whatever reason with dementia, they tend to just ignore it. And then I always call them the reality orientation crowd, where they're always trying to correct mom and dad and tell them what reality is, even though mom and dad doesn't understand what reality is. And so it just ends up being a trickle effect.
Exactly. Let's go to the next step then. What is important in caring for those with dementia? And then how do you help families get that care?
The biggest thing we look at is, from a care standpoint, is what kind of condition is the person in? What's the best options for their family? And then we give them 2 to 3 to 4 options on the type of care that may be most appropriate. So if it's someone that's early stages, we always recommend adult day because it's a great way for socialization. It's a great way for stimulation. It helps with mental acuity. It doesn't reverse their dementia, but it actually helps prevent significant deterioration when you're able to mentally stimulate them. And we try to get people to not be in that denial stage. If someone doesn't want to go to a day environment, we try to see what kind of care is best for them in their home. And then if they don't want to be at care in the home, then we ask them, do you want to be in a bigger, larger community? Do you want a smaller environment? What kind of services do you need? And then obviously you always have to talk about the finances, because based on people's financial needs, they could be close to Medicaid, so we have to look at Medicaid options, or they could be able to pay for private pay, or they might have some long-term care insurance that can help with the process. So we try to give people all the tools to make all the important decisions, and then, kind of help them through that process. We do have a division of what we do that does geriatric care management. And so a lot of times we can come out and actually do mini mental assessments and acuity assessments and really put together a full blown report that tells the families what their options are with their loved one.
Outstanding. It gets to my next question, which is, for those people that are at that time in life and they need to start engaging with you, what would you recommend in terms of the process of learning about what types of services they need and how to get smart and what's available in the local market? And many people want to get more services at home at first, but grow into something they can graduate into maybe more and more care. How would you recommend somebody starting at the very beginning of that process? What should they do?
If someone's at the beginning stages, which we don't find often, so what we find is that people usually are in denial or they wait too long and then they have to make a knee-jerk reaction because a catastrophe happens and then they're just forced to pick a place.
Interesting.
So for people that hopefully listen to talks like this, will start to realize that regardless of what the situation is, they have to start planning. Just like if you were planning for retirement, you don't start planning for retirement the week before you retire, right? And so what I find is that people have a financial planner, they have an accountant, they usually have an insurance broker, they have a bank they work with, but a lot of people haven't gone through the process of trying to figure out how they're going to spend all this money the last couple of years of their life worrying about their care. There's no quarterback for that process. So at the beginning, what we tend to do is we just tend to ask people to start educating themselves on the industry. So if they have a loved one that is having a triggering event, that's just for example, say it's beginning stages of dementia, starting to figure out if their desires are to keep somebody at home, then we recommend that they start interviewing home care companies. If their desire is to get them a lot of mental stimulation, start interviewing, going and seeing adult day centers. If their goal is to never put them in a nursing home, then it might be good to make sure they understand what it costs to do 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care in your home. And if it's awake care, you know, that can be close to $12,000 to $15,000 a month. So if you can't afford that and you've made a commitment to your spouse never to be in a nursing home, then you're going to want to start looking at products like our assisted living home, where it's a residential house, it's a residential neighborhood, everyone eats dinner together, it's like someone's home. And start looking at what your options are. And then as your loved one's health needs get worse, then we recommend that you reach out to a geriatric care manager. So we have a geriatric care management company where we have a RN, BSN, and social workers that can actually come out, do an assessment of the loved one, and then kind of like what I talked about earlier, then they can put a game plan together to give a family or financial planners or whoever's involved the 3 or 4 options that they have over the next couple years to be able to care for a loved one. And so we find that that assessment, it's almost like a health assessment, checkup assessment for someone's ability to provide care for their loved one. Those assessments are very beneficial. But what we find is a lot of people don't do it. They'll meet with their financial planner, or they'll pay their accountant, or they'll pay for a trust, or they'll do all these different things. But a lot of times they won't pay a couple $100 to do an assessment of what the appropriate care would be for their loved one.
Right. I'm interested in your perspective, having been in this industry for a while, and I've had to help provide for caregiving for my parents in Arkansas, Florida, and Alabama in different markets. What solutions do you see that are still missing in the caregiving space?
There's a lot of solutions. I mean, we've gotten everything for home automations coming up. You know, there's home care. There's in-home care, which is basically Medicaid, so the government pays for home care. There's Medicare, home care services, there's adult day centers, there's independent, assisted, skilled. I mean, there's a lot of services. I think the biggest issue is the caregiver side of things. We're not going to have enough caregivers to provide care for individuals. So that's the biggest issue. And the biggest thing I see is that the government encourages people not to work, especially in that caregiver realm. And so we find that over the next 20 years, your Achilles heel to all services is the fact that there's not going to be enough caregivers. And on top of it, the government incentivizes people not to work. So we'll get people that are calling us in the fall every year saying, I can't work anymore, I'll lose my government benefits. They'll also mention that they can't get a raise because if they do, it will take away a lot of the things that they're benefiting their family. The system's not tiered so that if you make more money, it's a tiered approach to having you be more successful in life. In my mind, it almost cripples those that are needing assistance because you basically have to double their salary to supplement the benefits that the government's giving people. So I think that's really the issue. It's not that there's not going to be good care. It's going to be that there's going to be nobody there to care for them.
All I can say is, wow, man, I definitely think we'll talk again. But right now, I want everybody to go out to www.familypartners.com. Bookmark that page now. Keep up with all the great things that Barth and his team at Family Partners are doing. Barth, it was so great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by and sharing your great wisdom with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Joe.
And that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Barth Hollihan, I'm Joe Lavelle. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Healthcare.